Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 11. Do you know someone that rarely gets angry, but when they do, watch out? Jesus is about to let the cities that rejected him and his message know how he feels. You know, it says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. We will read that Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum had rejected the message of John the Baptist, the 12, and the mighty works of God. Shall we stand together, if you're able, as we read from the book of Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 20. Then began he, Jesus, to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Notice what it says. He began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done. Verse 21, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Dear Heavenly Father, as we read these verses, we can all be frightened at the fact of what the blessings you have given upon America, and yet we have rejected your teachings. Lord, help gospel preaching churches to remain strong. May this church, this body of believers, be used of you, Lord, until you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. How soon will it be that the Lord's anger with America will be seen? We have been blessed not only with gospel preaching churches, but with financial wealth, jobs, abundance in our supermarkets. Water. Aren't you glad for water? I tell you what a blessing it is to have the privilege of being here in the Great Lakes State. And the freedom that we have. Jesus is saying, if Tyre and Sidon had received the opportunities that Chorazin and Bethsaida received, they would have repented and humbled themselves. He then says, if Sodom had received the opportunities that Capernaum had, they would have responded in a positive way to the teachings of the messengers of the Lord. And we cannot for a moment say we have not been warned. The Word of God has been preached boldly for weeks, months, decades, even centuries. And today we think we're above and beyond that. We don't need that. We need to be politically correct when literally we need to be biblically correct. We need to follow the scriptures, for God blesses a nation whose God is the Lord. Lawrence Richards comments on these verses, isn't it interesting that religious and good people are often harder to reach than the wicked? Why is it the wicked immediately know I need to repent? Why the so-called good person says, well, I'm okay. Are you okay? Compared to whom? The fact of the matter is, are we living according to the Word of God? And you say, well, I don't want to live that way. That's your choice. But there will come a day in which we will stand before the Creator of the universe. And then what will we say? Ponder this. What mighty works were done among them? How many miracles had they witnessed? Plus, Jesus Christ himself had lived amongst them. Dr. James Smith writes, Christ only knows the awful consequences of their rejection. Have you ever wondered what you have given up by living your life the way you want to, instead of living your life according to the Word of God? I wonder this. How many of you remember being in a class in high school and a test was given, and at the end somebody asked, are you going to grade on a scale or on a curve? How many of you liked it when they graded on a curve? Yes, I always appreciated that. If you're Dr. Fleming, you didn't want that. He wanted the straight A's. Yes. But the fact of the matter is, the more opportunities to hear and to know the truth, could that be greater punishment that will come your way? In Dante's Inferno, the priests and popes lived in the lowest parts of hell. Question: will Americans be judged more harshly and the wrath of God hotter than on those who lived in countries that the Word of God is not preached and is unknown? We have no excuse. The Word of God is proclaimed Sunday after Sunday in churches around this great nation. And yet, to the willful unrepentant, Jesus says, woe unto thee. But aren't you glad for a merciful God? Aren't you glad for a God who loves you and cares for you and wants you to repent? He's long-suffering, Peter said, and willing that all should come to repentance. Let's look at verses 28 through 30. 28 through 30. Come unto me. You know, we think of God as a loving God. And he indeed is a loving God. He is a merciful God. But what else is he? He's a just God. He is a God that believes sin is sin. We tolerate sin. Would you agree with that we tolerate sin? I can't hear you. We tolerate sin. We allow things to happen and we say, well, that's not so bad. But how about a holy God? A holy God that what sin? He hates sin. He hates sin. The other day I was listening to some Michigan State fans, and they were upset that Michigan had won an overtime over Army last week. You know what I got the feeling of about those Michigan State fans? That they what Michigan? That they hate Michigan. Do you think there are Michigan fans that hate Michigan State fans? Yes. And what about Ohio State? Oh, man, that's something else, huh? But in reality, how much do we really hate other fans? When we compare what God hates sin, it's not even close. God hates sin. Sin creates separation. Sin brings in turmoil. Sin brings in destruction, depression, frustration, jealousy, envy, hatred. Sin has cursed our world. And yet Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Modern psychology attempts to remove guilt. It tries to hide guilt. It tries to shift guilt. But only God can forgive guilt. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, you that are burdened with so many issues. And folks, we have people in our society that are dealing with issues that weigh them down. Depression, jealousy, envy, that they weigh upon us, hatred, racism. We find that it tears us apart. And yet Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a simple yet powerful statement. Some say this is the greatest of all thoughts from our Savior to us. Come, come. Genesis 7:1, we find that Noah has built an ark and the rains are coming. And the Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark. Come to where there's safety. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Come. And the Lord is still calling, come, come. We are invited to come and rest. Now, don't raise your hand, because I don't want anybody to look at someone else and say, they shouldn't do that. But if I were to ask you, how many of you are planning to go home and sometime before the evening service have a nap? That's my plan right now, is to go home and have a nap. I didn't make the bed. You didn't make the bed, did you? No, the bed's unmade. You know why? Because I'm planning to go home and have a nap. Isn't it nice to have a Sunday afternoon nap? You know, the only thing that would make it better if it rains. Don't you like to sleep a little nap when it's raining outside and you like to hear it raining? I like that. I like a good Sunday afternoon nap. I think that's good. And if you think I'm wrong, I'll take your nap too. But come and rest. Come and rest. What an opportunity for the sin-burdened heart. Jesus gives rest from guilt, from the fear of death and the dread of judgment. He gives it. He doesn't sell it. He doesn't give a prescription. He gives it. He gives it. Found in our October 10th, 2010 bulletin, life is short, death is sure, sin the curse, Christ the cure. He is there for a sin-sick world. Weary workers, to the disappointed and downcast, come and he will give you rest. Spiritually refreshed. Notice verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We are invited to serve. Jesus says, take my yoke. Surrender yourself to me. Oh, and that's the problem, isn't it? Well, we like the idea of salvation, but we don't want to be servants. Well, we don't want somebody telling us how we should live. And yet the one that saves our soul should be able to tell us what to do. But at the same time that Jesus is saying, take my yoke, the devil also is saying, take my yoke.
And he makes it look like party time. He makes it look like I'm going to give you a great time, but we don't realize that what he's offering is slavery. Sin will take you farther than you will want to stray. Sin will cost you more than you will want to pay. Sin will keep you longer than you will want to stay. Sin looks appetizing. Let me ask you a question. After Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they were so excited. No. What'd they do? They ran and hid. There was a separation between them and a holy God. They had been deceived. Adam was deceived. And he ate the fruit. And then he blamed his wife. Isn't that amazing what sin does to us? We don't want to admit it's our fault. We want to hide. We want to blame. And yet God says, come to me, and I'll give you rest. A yoke. It's a picture of submission. To be submissive to our Lord. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? I find it interesting in verses 28 and 29, we find the word rest given two times. In verse 28, it says, I will give you rest. And in verse 29, it says, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now, all of you know that I'm a grandpa eight times. I don't know how my wife could have eight grandchildren. Especially one that's 22 when she's only 32. But anyways, one of the things that grandpa does, you know, what's the number one thing grandparents should do? Spoil. And one of the things we do is we have candy hunts. You know what a candy hunt is? It's where candy is hidden. And so what I would do is I would go over to Kroger's and I will buy candy. I've tried to figure out which ones they like, and then I try to figure out which ones certain ones like and certain others like, and then they can trade them. And so I'll go down into our basement, and I hide candy all over in the basement. And I hide money also. They always like the money part. In fact, I found a dollar the other day they hadn't found yet. I got it in my pocket. They're not going to get it. I found it. Yes. And so after it's all hidden, I give each one of them a flashlight and a bag. And I turn off all the lights in the basement. And so they go downstairs into the basement with the flashlights. And you know what they're trying to do? Did someone say feed the dog? Oh, get it all, yes. Oh, and I tell you what, Shayla is good. Of all the grandkids, she's the best. She, number one, remembers where I hid it in the past. And number two, she just, you know how some people just have a knack of finding things? Oh, she does. And when it comes to trading, she's brutal. She's brutal. I'm amazed at what she'll get out of the other ones. But they like finding the candy. They love finding the money. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. And then he says, you can find rest. Which one comes first? The finding the rest or the be giving the rest? It says, come unto me and I will give you rest. So where's the rest begin? When we come to the Lord. Let me ask you this. Can you find rest because you're an American? Man, we are blessed beyond measure, aren't we? Well, other than the fact we have the Detroit Lions playing again today. But aren't we blessed an amazingly amount? Gas yesterday was $2.35, $2.40. Someone said today it's going to go up to $6.85 because some fields in Arabia were attacked or something like that. Go get gas before we, when you leave, after the service. But we're not blessed because we are simply Americans. That is a blessing. What's your greatest blessing? That someone told you about Jesus Christ. Right? That's your greatest blessing. If you're a billionaire and you don't have Christ, what are you? Miserable. Miserable. Because you know something's missing. Why do so many Hollywood people commit suicide? They don't have anything. How many times do you find millionaires and billionaires that commit suicide? Well, why? Because they don't have anything. Well, they have everything the world offers, but they don't have what they need. And what we need is Jesus Christ. How many in our world today have money but no rest? How many in our world today have things? They have their cell phones and their big screen TVs and personal computers and they have no rest. How many in our world today have religion, but they don't have rest because religion won't bring you rest? Only Jesus Christ will provide rest. Come. We are to come to Him who can give rest. Become. We are to become the sons of God. Notice it says in John 1, 11 and 12, He came unto His own and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And then we are to overcome. 1 John 2:13 says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Our Lord says, come. Whose decision is it? It's your decision, right? Have you come to the Lord? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? Have you accepted Him? Do you remember a time in your life when you said, Lord, I am a lost sinner. I cannot get to heaven on my own merit. I can only do it through the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And you prayed the sinner's prayer and you asked Him to forgive your sins and you've accepted Him as your Savior. Do you remember that time? Come. But once you have come and you have accepted Him as your Savior, and He has given you the rest of knowing that your sins have been forgiven. What happens if you're not serving Him faithfully? What happens if you have decided, well, okay, I know Christ is my Savior, and I'll give Him an hour on Sunday, but the fact of the matter is the rest of the time is mine. Can you find rest if you're not serving Him faithfully? So what do you say, Pastor Paul, what are you talking about? The Lord saved us for a purpose, didn't He? Is Christmas just so that we can have gifts? No. That's just a benefit, isn't it? Isn't that just gravy? Jesus Christ came to die. Well, then once we accept Him as Savior, why shouldn't He just immediately take us away? Wouldn't that be nice? Gone. I'd have gone to heaven when I was a little boy. Yes. So He left us here for a purpose, right? And what happens if we're not serving Him faithfully? I think we won't have that full rest that we can have. The rest that He is giving us when we are faithful to Him. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. Let's stand together. Song this morning is, There's a Great Day Coming. Do you know Christ as your Savior? And are you serving Him faithfully? There's going to be a day in which we stand before the Lord. Will He be able to say, Well done, thou good and faithful servant? Dear Heavenly Father, as we sing this invitation song, we ask, Lord, Your blessing upon us. Help us, Lord, to serve You faithfully.
And we ask it in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.